These two, material science and metaphysics, are really one, but they seem to work against each other. Laboratory motion is more what you would call, let me see motion by dots, instead of by lines, you understand? Yes, but the subject is perhaps too vast. Question. Can you tell us a little more about the dots and lines? Answer. In line motion you have light being, or seeming to be, projected from one point to another. In dot vibration, you have single bodies glowing within themselves periodically, or perhaps that would come under the quantum theory. Question. The quantum theory is used in television, because of the use of the living and glowing dots. That is what you are trying to get across? Answer. It is a very difficult thing to explain. But it will be easier as television becomes understandable. Answer. Yes, it will. Professor Luntz continued. I will change the subject for a moment, and because Ramakalo cannot come tonight, I will speak a few words about the flying discs. I hope it will be interesting to you, because it is important. You have been told by your authorities that you have spots before the eyes, and I think just now must be a good time for the optician's business. Reason, pure reason, your scientists demand. If they had left off that pure, it would have been fine. Discs, spaceships, or perhaps illusions, mass hysterics, mass hysteria. Until they appeared, no one had hysteria. Now, I am not criticizing your government, but in this country the people are supposed to be the government. Are you being protected because you are not quite strong enough to face the true knowledge? It would be easy enough to say these things all come from the planets. Of course that would give your astronomers a slight headache, seeing they have put these at such great distances, thousands and thousands of what you call light years. Is there not something closer than planets? Imagination? I said that first, because I knew you would soon say imagination. If you are not worried about these things, that is quite all right, because you certainly have enough to worry about already. But these great craft come out of what we of the inner circle call the etheric. End of this part. Next is Professor Alfred Luntz, Communication of January, 1953. It appears that the disc incidents are coming to a head of some kind, and it may seem to you that some of our statements are on the threshold of being discredited. We would not mind any seeming loss of face for ourselves, but we would deprecate it for you. Hence we reiterate once more, that while Dr. Williamson or Mr. Adamski may have talked with a being from some other planet, and that Dr. Williamson is in radio contact with such beings, nevertheless the majority of the disc phenomena are of etheric nature, or not. Remark this, it is not of your time dimension. These beings may prove to be quite solid and capable of walking about on the Earth, and they may claim to exist on Venus or any other planet, in or out of your solar system, but this does not imply that they are in their structural units, humans of the same order as you Earth people, or that they lack the ability to convert their seeming solids to invisible stuff at will. Nor does it disprove that they are guardians not only of the Earth, but of the whole solar system in which your planet exists. In speaking of etheric culture, you know of course that we must do so in a metaphysical way. There is considerable knowledge of the etheric worlds among secret occult orders, but the lay mind knows nothing of this and can never know of it. Etherian culture may mean little more than a fantasy to you, but if you pursue the subject you will come to understand that your world of matter is really a rarefaction, vacuum, of the ether, spawned into being by the forces of involution, not of evolution, and that it came out of the etheric. Man himself is an etheric being and a space being. Long before your Earth came into form, man was moving from one planet and one solar system to another. Repeat again. Man himself is an etheric being and a space being. Symbols of many meanings. Those on the sandals of those found in the sand by the so-called Venus contacts for Georg Adamski, have all the meanings found by you, and yet many more. These people are guardians and move from one planet to another. If one said that he came from Venus, he was giving a kind of general direction, as you might say, for example, I came from the Middle West. Their forms are different while in passage on account of gravitational pulls and other conditions. Professor Lantz continued, 1950. Now, if you can sit here and listen to my voice speaking to you through this instrument whom we call the boy, because we are all so many, many years older than he, and think it is quite all right, nothing too much out of the ordinary, then how can you consider that great civilization called the etheric as fantastic, impossible? What is impossible? Answer from listeners, nothing. That is the understanding we want to arrive at, that whatever man wishes, he can do. These craft come for what purpose? Primarily to make notes on the physical condition of the earth itself, as well as the state of advancement of your scientific approach to life. Whenever a civilization reaches a great state of advancement in every line, that civilization has reached its peak, and I do not know why the present civilization should think it is any different from any other civilization and escape decay, or, to put it better, change. When these Aetherians, it means those people living on the next floor, so to speak, or next level, when those gather as much information as needed, they hold it until such time as that civilization falls. And when another starts to rise again and after it has attained a certain degree of advancement, these things are handed down to the Earth people again through the channels of mystic organizations. There is much to learn, friends, much. A great philosopher once said, and I don't mean to be trite about it, it is later than you think. Does that sound ominous? I don't mean it that way. It is only that each one of you has not much time for awakening to the greatness of yourselves. To give you but a short resume, these craft are operated by the little, known laws of molecular action called heat and cold. You are watching one right now. Why do we move this boy's body back and forth this way? Because all bodies that move create heat. Every slightest motion creates heat to a degree. We use that energy, and we can, when we are through, return it, to a large extent, so the boy suffers no particular ill. His wife's energy we use also, for always there is a positive and a negative force to life. Have any of you questions to ask? Question. Our present physics combines the wave, motion with the old molecular motion. We say that light does not travel, but that certain particles change their rates of motion at certain times. And these changes create a vibratory rate that causes what I can only call a reflection. I do not know that I make myself clear. Question. Is light a continuous state in the ethers? Answer. Yes, it is. Question. What is darkness, then? Answer. A different state of molecular motion. Yes, co-existing with light. And the day, and, night idea is merely psychological? It is. Let us suppose there is a molecule here, at one moment its vibration is low, it creates no light. Then, through throwing off a kind of radiation, it produces what is called heat. There are two kinds of heat, white and black. Question. Does it do that of itself, or is it controlled by something else? Sir, if I had a physical brain, it would burst under that question. I am afraid I would have to give some considered thought to that, and confer with the inner circle. I am not quite sure of it myself. With reference to the confused use of suns, planets, stars, and other verbal inaccuracies, we should keep in mind that much of this is rather rapid conversational exchange, and that Professor Luntz is not trying to speak with scientific precision, for the moment at least. Next is, Ramon Natley, Control Medium, 1949. Here is something else we wish you to think upon. For many years now, most of your scientists who go into the investigation of physical phenomena have not seemed to realize that the matter, which goes to make up the shape and forms on the unseen level, is much denser than the matter on the physical plane. It is assumed that, because your solids can be turned into liquids, and then into gases, and that certain of these gases become invisible to the physical eye, due to wider separation of their component parts and the greater oscillation of their atomic motion, that a similar condition exists on other planes of consciousness. If this were so, how could a disembodied entity take your physical matter and spread it over his body? No, this could not be done if your matter were heavier and denser than ours. One could not spread heavier and denser matter on other matter that was less dense than itself. It could not hold up under the strain. The fact is, however, that the electronic bodies that whirl around the atom or nucleus of our matter are gathered closer to the nucleus, due to the lowering of heat radiation from the nucleus. This constriction of the electronic field of our atom gives our bodies a greater density and elasticity in comparison to yours. It also explains why our atom of matter can pass right on through the electronic field of the atom of your matter, without disturbing its field. The teleportation of matter and the act of bringing one form of matter through another seems to cause a great amount of amazement among you. The facts are, however, that both of these forms of activity are normal functions in nature. When you discover, as you will in time, how closely interrelated are mind and matter, or the various planes of the unseen in your physical chemical world, you will then understand the many methods of teleportation. One of these methods is the reduction of a physical body, animate or inanimate, to its etheric state by the condensing of its atomic structure. In this form it can be transported to any point in or throughout the vast universe. As a rule, teleportation is the work of etheric beings, though sometimes of an advanced discarnate spirit, and at other times it is accomplished by foolish spirit beings who have learned how to manipulate physical matter and who, not knowing the great good they could do with that knowledge, squander their energy by using it to frighten or amuse those still in the body. Your spirit in the Bellwitch case, however, was not a discarnate entity, but an etheric being who had been cast down into the low etheric from the high etheric plane. He had a great deal of good as well as evil in him. He had committed some unpardonable deeds, and was therefore cast out of his high state for a given period of time. So he spoke truth when he said that he had roamed heaven and hell for millions of years. His hell was the coming down into the low etheric. Man, in any state, is a child of impulse. We all act in and by impulse, but sometimes we let go and allow these little motions in thought to drive us to what eventually proves our undoing. Now, let us turn back to the topic of matter and some of its different forms of activity. In reducing formed matter to a formless state, you are merely sending it back a few stages to its original condition. But there is no physical scientist who knows how to take it back to its original condition, for if he could accomplish this, the bit of substance that he so reduced would escape him entirely, and the only machine that could bring it back to the place where he could come into physical contact with it again, would be through the mind of certain individuals, working in conjunction with the brain. In reducing a solid to a gas, you are not causing that substance to be anything other than it was before. You are merely breaking up and scattering its component parts, thereby giving it different shape or form. Ice and invisible steam are not two different things, but the same thing in a different rate of motion of its parts. The more a physical, chemical substance is divided, the more dense its remaining parts become, and therefore the greater must be the force or work done on it to split it again. The reason for this condition seems to be that the gravitational pressure of the ether, in which all matter floats, becomes greater as the parts are divided. The raising of this pressure is always equal to the part taken away. This is why it has taken such tremendous force to split your atom. It must also be known that the more matter is divided and subdivided, the greater the radiation heat it creates within itself. Never can matter be reduced to the point of one. All nature works with two or more energies and forces working in harmony, and when I use the word two, I do so figuratively, for truly the act of division, in its deeper sense, is Maya, or illusion, for we can never really either divide or add to anything. All we can do is to bring about a changed condition of activity. And if we bring about this change before its natural time, we will have to hold on constantly to the method we used to make that change, or that which was so changed will automatically revert to its original state. One of the deepest mysteries that confronts scientific minds is the origin of matter. I am afraid this is not a problem that can be answered by your physical science, but rather by metaphysical science, and I am sure the latter would say matter has no point of origin, as man understands that word origin. Matter just is. Let us suppose, however, that there was such a thing as a point in space out of which matter was spawned, the point itself would have to be of some kind of matter which man could recognize and comprehend. And, again, whether this point were submicroscopic in size or 100 billion miles extending in all directions, one could not say that its location in space was here or there, unless there was another body standing somewhere in relation to it. When we consider this, we can then understand to a better degree why a dot or a point cannot, of itself, have an existence. However, this is true also of a line or a plane, for a line consists of a series of dots, and a plane a series of lines that are made up of dots. If, then, a dot or a point is non-existent in itself, the same must be true of a line or a plane. Therefore, matter can only be a production of the mind. End of this transmission. Next is Ramon Natley, 1950. Question. Would you care to speak of what looked to us like a great explosion on Mars a day or so ago? Answer. It was a great and terrible explosion. It came from a gigantic volcano that has not been active for hundreds and hundreds of years. There was an eruption over some 9,000 miles of land, and a terrible, terrible quake. Question. Were there inhabitants who were injured or killed by it? Not inhabitants like yourselves, but life forms of a lower nature. There has been some talk about sky phenomena, about things that fly in your skies. Some seem to think that these come from Mars or Venus. They do, but not from the terrestrial Mars or Venus. There is around every planet, and, for that matter, around every body in the vast heavens, an etheric world. These bodies govern, or are governed by those in the etheric world. They are under their direct and watchful eye. Question. Are you saying that what we call the planet Mars and Venus are under the control of their etheric counterparts? Answer. Yes, they are. Question. And is that true of our planet? Answer. Yes, these intelligences, I believe, some of you call the groups old. It is not too good an expression, it does not explain things. Question. Would you say that all of these skycraft come from the etheric region of some particular planet? Answer. I most assuredly would. Question. And will you tell us which planet? Answer. I think, Venus. In fact, those who constructed these so-called disc ships copied the design of their craft after the body Venus with its outer vibrating disc or ring. Question. Are we to infer that the disc type of craft came, then, from the etheric region of Venus? Answer. Yes. Question. And the others come from other planets? Mars, for example? Answer. Yes, from the planets. Question. And our Earth, from the etheric region of our Earth? Answer. They must pass through the etheric region of your Earth, of course, and to do so must have the permission of the Aetherians. Each comes from its own particular rate of vibration, which is an unseen pattern of the seen body. Question. So, although it is not correct to say that some of the craft come from Mars, it is correct to say that some of them come from the etheric duplicate of Mars. Answer. Yes, that is correct. Question. Do they come from all the planets of our system? Answer. Yes, they come very readily. These craft have often crossed what you call the Milky Way. Question. That means the distances they travel are thousands of light years. How can that be? Answer. I think my honorable colleague Rama Kalo tried to point out that these craft are not what may be termed a solid. Their solidity is formed according to where they are going, what their mission is, and the particular body in the heavens which they are approaching. As they come into the sphere of attraction of that body, they have to make their vibration conform to that of the body. Question. Yes, small particles weighing very little on one planet might weigh a ton on another. Question. May I ask something else about these ether ships? Suppose one of these crafts leaves, say, Arcturus or Orion and transits into our etheric, what is it that passes? It is not any stuff that we know of. Answer. Most assuredly not. It is matter so formed that its, shall I say, behaviorism, its motion pattern, can be and is driven at the speed of light, and beyond. Light is not the fastest thing. You say light travels at 186,000 miles per second, add 500 to that and you will have it yet closer. Yet, under the direction of the, for the want of another word, operative force of mind, here and there does not exist. 186,000 miles, and then I say 500 more a second. Doesn't that prove it is a never continuing now? Can anyone conceive of such speed, really? But still you lay down a law, and all your people learn that law. Of course, you must have a theory of some kind, but to be dogmatic, as some of your scientists are, about any law shows lack of intelligence on the part of that scientist. Sir, if there was nobody here and nobody there and this was a vast void, where would here and there be? End of this talk from 1950. Next is Ramon Nately, continued. It is from 1948. The phenomena of the flying discs will continue and probably increase. And no doubt there will be some of your bold and devoted pilots who will pursue these phantoms of the skies, very foolishly. Of course, no, we do not change our interpretation of the discs as we first gave it to you. They do come from the etheric world. That does not mean my plane, or any world of spirits who have lived on your earth. And it does not mean any planet of your solar system. The etheric world of their origin interpenetrates with your own. When we resume our meetings, I shall speak more at length on materialization, which consists in bringing together particles of dense matter by the use of thought force. Question. You are suggesting that the discs have their first material existence on our side, that the etheric prototype of them is only a thought form, and that this thought formats to bring them into being in dense matter on our plane of perception? Answer, that is exactly what I am suggesting. Ramon Nately, 1953. Concerning the little men observed at the Brush Creek disc landings and elsewhere. The universe swarms with life of many kinds. Some planets have inhabitants much like yourselves, but on others they differ much in size, weight, density, and other characteristics. There are giants and pygmies and all sizes between. Among your sky visitors there are some who come from planets and others who come from space. By space the communicator does not mean vacuity, but rather the enormously dense ethers which equate with space. It is my belief that by 1955 you will be able to land a rocket on the moon. The conquest of the moon is your next great project and it behooves you to make it successful. Its seizure by another power would mean its domination of the planet, our Earth. In landing human beings on the moon there are two main problems, A. That of protection from cosmic radiation, B. That of propulsion. It would take at least 15 feet of lead to protect you from the cosmic rays. These would not be immediately fatal, but life would be very short afterward, 5 or 10 years, perhaps, cancer. Like growths would appear throughout the body. But such a heavy lead shield would be impracticable. So, you cannot use any material you now have, or as you now have it. But you will find a way to align the atoms and molecules. I think this will be done by means of powerful electrical impulses or jolts. In the web of energy so created the magnetic fields will not merge, that is, the object so shielded will be weightless. And the great density of the shield will protect from the cosmic rays. There will be no limit to the speed of such a weightless object. The first propulsion used by you will be atomic. But there is a way to utilize the vibratory rates of the ethers, by a kind of resonance or harmonics. The people of the discs could teach you all these things. There is so much apprehension among you already, I do not want to add to it. Well, I shall say that your world, your planet as a whole will suffer a great earthquake. This will be an ether quake in its origin. There will be a kind of disruption of the magnetic or etheric fields. The sky will seem filled with fire. Great land masses will be displaced. There will be huge inundations. This will come in a few years. It will not be many years. More than this I am told, I should not say. Next is by Arakashi, 1950. Your conventional physics has led man to believe that three-dimensional form is real and substantial. But your more learned physicist will tell you that a physical, chemical object is rarefied to the point of being 90% space, or what is known as nothingness, and that that which is called space or the ether is extremely more dense than any known substance. Note, others say it is 99.99% emptiness, or space. The reason for this seems to lie in the fact that no two atoms of which form is made, touch one another, and that, relatively speaking, their distances from one another can be compared with those separating your heavenly bodies. And that which holds them together or drives them farther apart, is called the field of attraction and repulsion, or positive and negative poles. Now, you can take a bar of iron which may seem real and very solid to your eyes and sense of touch, but which is as porous as a piece of sponge, and if you heat this bar, you will find it will at first start to bend and then to run like water. Why? Simply because heat steps up the vibratory rate of its molecules, thus creating a greater negative field than existed in it while cold. This drives the molecules farther apart. Now, while you have changed the form, called a bar of iron, you have not in any way changed the substance called iron, because it has become liquid. You may change it all into vapor, but it will still remain iron vapor. Now all this latter is well known even by the schoolboy. I wish only to make clear that a human body contains all the known elements, and the mind in deep meditation knows how, with the aid of breath and the kundalini forces, to segregate the necessary chemicals from the body and project them into the thought, form mold, thereby creating a three-dimensional object. If your men of science hope to understand more clearly the phenomena of life, they will have to come sooner or later to the realization that this thing which we call space, time, is not in its true nature an objective over, all element, but a very subjective personified activity, that is projected from the self in compact, extremely minute impulses. On the gross earth plane, these impulses are what you call chemical particles. Call this simply because the nuclear structure of these impulses can be so arranged as to form what you think of as matter. However, only the kind that is suited for your three-dimensional way of thinking. But deep within the gross matter field there lies a more subtle field known as the etheric plane. It is from this next higher vibratory rate that solidified matter draws its energy that keeps it functioning in the physical world. When a physical body of any kind starts to deteriorate and go through the state you call death, it is because the channels through which it absorbs this etheric energy have failed, for one cause or another. The energy, matter that went to make up that particular body will go through many forms before it again flows back into its original state of formless matter. All that man sees is matter in motion, and then almost always only one phase of it. When seemingly strange phenomena, such as odd-looking aircraft and countless other things come to your notice, you can be assured that it is one form of matter merging with another that has an affinity or strong pull of attraction for it. Sometimes the force of attraction is so great that the speed at which they meet causes them to do what you call explode. An explosion is but one of the many ways that one dimension has of merging with another, by sudden and violent breakdown, or deterioration, and almost instant regrouping to form new substance. Next is from 1950 and, Rama, Ka, Lo, as control. Last week we were speaking about the flying discs. I should like to continue. I want to say that traction, or what would be termed the pressure from the outer to the inner, or as with the wheels on a road, is created by the magnetic field they throw off, that is thrown off by the bodies of these discs. This is true of all of them, including that which you call the fireball. Question. These discs as we see them are what we call materialized. Do they operate or have existence as materialized objects outside our atmosphere? Answer. Yes, they do. In that case, is there a different form of propulsion? Answer. No, lower and higher rates of the same. Question. The propulsion then is not secured by traction on the gases of the atmosphere, but on the ether, according to the condition they enter into. Now, atoms are not single atoms. It is better to say a field, or a pattern, or a wave, or a surface behaviorism. There is always surface. going into the higher ethers or lokas there is a denser field, coming into your world atmosphere, the density grows less and less. Your world is one of the least dense. Question. These craft, then, could be used by the Aetherians for interplanetary flight?